Today, we're following in the footsteps of Hideo Nomo, Ichiro Suzuki, Shohei Ohtani, and Bobby Valentine. We're heading to the land of the rising sun to watch the Giants, the Tigers, the Dragons, the Carps, and the Nippon Ham Fighters. It's time to learn all about Japan and the Nippon Baseball League this week on Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and today is going to be a fun show. We are continuing our international journey, and we're going to be talking to Gabe Lerman about seeing baseball in Japan. Now, before we begin, full disclosure, I just found out that the team is called the Nippon Ham Fighters, not the Nippon Ham Fighters. There's no team called the Ham Fighters in Japan. Anyways, we haven't finished all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums in the United States, and we could have done those first and then started going international, but that's not how my stadium journey went, and that's the order I'm going in. I saw my first game in Japan in March 2008. I had been living in South Korea for almost 2 years. During my first year, I worked and lived at a theme park called English Village. My second year, I moved to Ilsan, which is a suburb of Seoul, and started teaching English in an after-school academy. I taught conversational English to middle schoolers during the week and hosted an ESL TV show on the weekend for the Korean version of PBS. It was a kids' show called The Three Golden Keys. I was a detective who, for some reason, was dressed like an elf, who solved crimes with his two assistants, who happened to be a pair of young Korean children. I'd like to tell you more, but I don't know if I fully understood what was going on. Anyway, while I was working there, it was announced that the A's would be playing the Red Sox in Tokyo to open the season. What luck! I was living in Asia, and my home team was going to be playing only 2.5 hours away from me by plane. Perfect for a long weekend. I had already visited Japan once. That first year in Korea, I traveled through Fukuoka, Hiroshima, and Kyoto, but I hadn't made it to Tokyo yet. This would be my first trip, as well as my first Japanese baseball game. The A's were scheduled to play an exhibition game against the Hanshin Tigers before facing off against the Red Sox on opening day. I had a friend who worked in the ticket office for the A's, so he was able to get us a couple of tickets through his boss. We met up in Tokyo a few days before the games to explore the city. But on game day, we went down to the Tokyo Dome, stopped to go on the roller coaster outside, and then went inside for the ball game. The ballpark wasn't completely full for the exhibition game against the Tigers, but the Japanese fans were so passionate for their team, with songs, cheers, and instruments going hard during the bottom half of the innings when the home team was batting. When the visitors were up, in this case the A's, the Japanese fans were completely silent, almost eerie-like. I felt like I was in a library, and if I talked, it would be too much noise. The games were fun. It was a blast being in another country, dressed head to toe in my team's gear. If you ever get a chance to see your team play in another country, I highly recommend it. The games are special, the ceremonies are top-notch, and you get to explore a new place. But I'll admit, for many people, the idea of planning a trip to Japan, whether for baseball or otherwise, sounds like a daunting task. Hopefully, by the end of today's episode, it might sound a little easier. Later on, I'm going to give you some tips and highlights from my most recent trip to Japan in 2023. But first, let's talk to Gabe Lerman to get some on-the-ground insights.
Hello from my walk-in closet.
Hi, from your closet, yeah. Well, Gabe, yeah, thank you for joining me today. Gabe, I saw you or saw an advertisement for maybe a book or a guide that you're doing about Japanese baseball on Facebook. What's your connection with the Japan League, and what have you compiled for people?
It's a long story, so we have to go back to 2019. I visited all 12 Nippon Professional Baseball, or NPB, teams all by train over the span of about 2.5 weeks. I blogged about it. I got a little bit of notoriety for it, but I've been to all 12 of these places, and I know the ins and outs of them, where to shop, where to plant your ticket, what to buy. That comes in handy when I'm in touch with the owner and operator of Japan Ball, which is a Japanese baseball travel agency. They arrange for tours to visit all 12 teams, or just the ones around the major cities. They also operate tours in the Dominican Republic, Harlem in the Netherlands for Baseball Week, or Honkball as they call it over there, South Korea, and I believe they're working on a Cooperstown tour right now.
Cool.
So I got in touch with the owner, and we combined our knowledge and put that into the Japan Ball Travel Guide for Japanese Baseball.
Great. And that's what I saw an ad for, and thought it would be great to have you on this podcast to talk a little bit about what people can expect when they go to Japan in order to see a baseball game. I've been to a game in Japan. I haven't been to on a baseball tour or anything like you have, haven't visited multiple stadiums, but it's been a while. And I know a lot of people want to go over to Japan. How easy is it, do you think, for them to do this on their own without having a tour or a guide?
It has gotten easier every single year since I went in 2019. First, the Tokyo Olympics happened, and a lot of Japan moved away from being cash only to at least accepting credit cards. Now there's some ballparks that are cash free, which is not something you'd have expected a decade ago in Japan. There are also more teams offering English ticketing services. Before, when I went, it was just the two teams in Tokyo, the Yakult Swallows and the Yomiuri Giants, who had full English ticketing processes. But now, off top of head, the Yokohama DeNA BayStars have one, the Saitama Seibu Lions, and other sites will happily be machine translatable so that you can purchase your tickets more easily. I was able to purchase all 12 games myself using only machine translation. That also wound up with me buying tickets to the wrong Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters game because the table formatting broke, and that was on their old site. That shouldn't be a problem anymore. But still, it was like, little too eager there. Getting to and from the stadiums is incredibly easy. Some of them are actually owned by the railways that service them. So to get to the Hanshin Koshien Stadium, you have to take the Hanshin Railway from the Hanshin Department Store. It's very vertically integrated in that respect. And in a nation like Japan, which is so well connected through public transit, you do not need to drive anywhere.
Let's actually take a couple of these and break them down a little bit, starting with just how we might want to schedule our trip. Is there any team or any stadium that you need to make sure not to miss? And are there maybe a couple of teams that you might be able to see without having to move hotels?
Absolutely. There are five teams in the greater Tokyo area alone, and a further two in Osaka. And I know those are the major tourist destinations. So you can easily squeeze in a game with any of those clubs. Worth noting that no games take place on Monday unless there's a holiday nearby or a rainout. So Tuesday through Sunday, is your best option. Weeknights are almost always 6 p.m. starts. Weekends can be 1 p.m., 2 p.m., or 6 p.m. So it depends on the team and the situation. A lot of teams also have domed stadiums. So weather can be a big factor. There's always the rainy season in early June and again towards the end of August. So making sure you have a weather protected option nearby is beneficial. I will say that the easiest teams to get to are the five that are around Tokyo. The Yomiuri Giants are the big team. They're like the New York Yankees of Japan. And the Tokyo Dome is very centrally located. There's like four subway lines and a Japan Railways line all within walking distance. There's an amusement park nearby. There's tons of restaurants. That's the sort of the default choice. But if you're already going to Osaka, do yourself a favor and go to Hanshin Koshien Stadium in Nishinomiya, just west of Osaka proper. The Hanshin Tigers just won the Japan Series 2 seasons ago. That stadium is one of only five left in the world where Babe Ruth himself played, and it's still standing. Koshien predates the pro team. They built it in the 1920s for the high school baseball tournament, which is still running after over 100 years, and kicks the pro team out every August for 3 weeks to take over the ballpark. The all-dirt infield, the 48,000 seat capacity without a second deck. So it's all just one very steeply raked bowl. And the noise from the outfield bleachers. If you're going to a game in Japan, make sure you're either cheering in those outfield bleachers or you're close to them, because that is where the energy in the ballpark comes from. And Koshien is one of the loudest in Japan. If you can't make it all the way out to Osaka, next best option is in Chiba, which is near Tokyo Disney Resort. The Chiba Lotte Marines have the loudest fans in the Tokyo area.
Nice. I've seen that there are a couple of newer stadiums that kind of give the feel of American ballparks that have come more recently than some of these ballparks. I'm thinking Hiroshima, maybe. There's the Mazda Zoom Zoom Park, something like that.
That's right. Mazda Zoom Zoom Stadium Hiroshima is home of the Carp since 2009. And because it's asymmetrical in alignment, it actually directly abuts the bullet train tracks from Hiroshima Station just to its west. And it's got that sort of modern aesthetic around it. If you're familiar with like a Camden Yards or a Minute Maid Park, it should be very familiar. The newest ballpark in Japan, though, is Eskon Field, Hokkaido, which is about 20 minutes south of Sapporo, all the way up at the northern tip of Japan. So you're going to have to fly up there to go. But when if you do, you're getting modern amenities, a movable roof while still having a grass field, and the team is exciting. They made the postseason for the first time in 6 years last year, and they're only getting better. I argue that Eskon Field Hokkaido is what Globe Life Field in Arlington was supposed to look like before it got value engineered to death.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a pretty nice park. They had an open house while I was up there in November, and they allowed us to walk around. So I haven't seen a game there, but it's a pretty nice park up there. So people are planning their trip and they want to get tickets. Do you think it is important to get your tickets before you leave the United States, or can you get a day of game? Are there times and games or times of the season where it will be harder to get games day of or tickets day of?
There are certain teams where you can get tickets day of without too much issue. The Swallows in Tokyo and the Dragons in Nagoya both have a ticketing service called PIA Quick. You don't get to choose your exact seat, but you do get to choose your section, and it uses Apple Pay or Google Pay. You open it up on your smartphone, you get a barcode, you're in, lickety split. I've been able to use that to buy tickets for friends visiting, and I only need to buy a couple days in advance. That said, those were the two worst teams in the Central League when I bought those tickets. So it depends on the team's quality. It depends on the opponent. If you're going to see the Tigers at Koshien Stadium, be warned, any game against their hated rivals, the Giants, think Red Sox, Yankees, will be a hard ticket to purchase. And tickets for any game in Hiroshima will be very tricky to get day of. Focus on getting those early if you're going all the way out to Hiroshima. I had to, in a dead heat, get unreserved seats because I almost missed the on sale date by like 6 hours. It was a bit of a mad scramble back in 2019. Thankfully, it has gotten better. So if you're going to look for tickets, avoid the Japanese holidays, Golden Week, Obon in August. If you can do a weekday game, that'd probably be better if you're a tourist, because that way you won't have to fight off too many families and crowds trying to make their way to the ballpark on a Saturday or Sunday. And if the team is not doing so well, tickets will be easier to get.
When I lived in Korea for a couple of years, I found that earlier in the season, or maybe even midway through the season, at that time, you would find half-empty stadiums or whatnot. Is that the case for the good teams in Japan?
Nope. The Tigers sold out their entire season within 2 weeks of the on sale date this year. They didn't even put up the English ticketing website. They're like, sorry, we're
Wow.
booked. Even the worst team in Japan this season, the Saitama Seibu Lions, they still had a paid attendance of over 22,000 fans in what was, I think, a 35,000 seat arena. So they still pack the park, because remember those outfield cheering sections, what else are they going to do on a game day? They practiced. They are
Right.
committed to being the most boisterous fans and to suck you in with their infectious energy.
Let's talk about that for a little bit. Is there any way for foreign visiting fans to feel like they can be a part of that atmosphere? Can you buy thunder sticks? Can you learn some songs? Is there anything to do?
Absolutely. The cheering songs are straightforward to learn. There are some places where the cheering squads will post their songs on YouTube and you can listen along. The Oryx Buffaloes and the Hanshin Tigers, both in Osaka, are excellent examples of that. I think the Rakuten Eagles in Sendai do the same. You can buy tickets in those outfield cheering sections. Just be careful which side of the diamond you're on. The home team has the right field sec and third base stands, except in Sendai, Hokkaido, and Saitama, where the orientation is flipped. It's a little weird. That said, the fans there are going to be so welcoming. You will get occasionally free balloons to play or to inflate and to carry around or to set off during their seventh inning stretch. Some people may walk around with lyric sheets with Google Translate you can pick up, but really most of the cheers follow the same pattern. It's dot 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 dot. If you can, and those last three dot dot dots are the player's name.
Oh,
So
great.
if it's a home, foreign slugger named Marte, it'd be like home run, Marute. Or
Yeah.
if it's a local guy by the name of Yamamoto, it'd be Katobase Yamamoto. This is all the same pattern.
Oh, that's fantastic. That seems like it's something that you could pick up after a while of being
After a
there.
couple of
Yeah.
beers served at your seat from girls with draft kegs on their backs, yeah, the social barriers are lowered.
Speaking of social barriers, let's go the other way. Is there anything that you can think of that we might not want to do at a game, or something that maybe is something that we would do at a normal game in America that is not acceptable behavior out in public?
There's two things that stand out. One, don't wear visitor team gear in the home cheering section. Don't wear home team gear in the visitor cheering section.
All right.
And the second, don't heckle the players. I've noticed that the cheering is always very positive. It's do your best, slug it out, but the home fans are quiet in the top halves of every inning to let the visiting fans do their cheering. The very first Japanese baseball game I went to was in 2013. Andrew Jones, yeah, the guy who used to play in North America, was playing for the Eagles, who were the visitors at that point. So I got up to heckle in English, shouting at Jones that his best years started with a 19, and was told by the Japanese gentleman sitting in front of me, very politely but firmly, to sit down and be quiet. We don't do that here.
Wow. How about the famous picking up after yourself? Is that something you'll see at games, home games?
Absolutely, yes. The fans will look up, will pick up after themselves, will clean their space. I feel like that's one example of how Japan is a more communitarian society compared to the individualist society in North America, where, the janitorial staff will take care of
Yeah.
it. Then again, if you're sticking around after the game to watch people pick up, you may be waiting a while. Whichever team won the game will have their cheering section out in the outfield, running through every player's cheer song, the team cheer song. There will be an interview of the hero of the game, like the MVP of the game, on the field right after the game. So, unlike how in North America that's usually just kept to the broadcasters, no, it's broadcast around the stadium. They put up a backdrop, they have an interviewer for a few minutes. It's a fun little addition to the game that really helps you stay connected with the players there, especially if the MVP is a foreign player, because if you're lucky, you might be able to understand what he's saying.
Right. Let's ask or let's talk about the flip side. How about before the game? Is there any reason to get to the ballpark early?
Not really. Batting practice isn't so much a thing for Japanese games. If you're there early, you'll be able to hear the cheer sections, warm up, do some final practicing. I didn't really feel the need to arrive that early, except for food. Although you can bring outside food and outside alcohol into every ballpark in Japan, except in Fukuoka, you may still want to go there early just to take in some of the local eats. If there's a specialty thing like the long potato fries in Sendai or the beef curry in Yokohama or the sweet potato curry in Chiba, it always helps to show up a little bit early just so you can navigate and you don't have to stand in line at the restaurants and the stands during the game.
Would you say that it's a good idea to save your appetite and check out what are at the ballpark? When I was in Korea, they had a lot of 7-Elevens in the ballpark, a lot of street food that you could get, other places. So I didn't find that the food at that time was anything I needed to get at the ballpark. What do you think about in Japan? Is that something to experience?
I've got some local opinions on that in the travel guide. I have some of our Japan Ball associates in Yokohama, in Nishinomiya, in Chiba, and in Hokkaido give their thoughts on the must tries at each ballpark.
Oh,
But there
great.
will be some similarities. There's always going to be some sort of edamame, some sort of fried chicken, even if it's not explicitly karaage. There will always be one major chain for pizza or hot dogs. That said, food in Japan is almost universally good. You actually have to go out of your way to find bad food there. So, yeah, why not swing into a Family Mart or a 7-Eleven, grab a couple of onigiri, maybe a pastry or something, and a soda pop, and just bring that in. You're definitely not going to go broke at the ballpark. Tickets and concessions are universally cheaper in Japan than in North America.
If you don't get your souvenirs at the ballpark, can you get team paraphernalia other places other than game day? Let's say you forgot or you decide later on that was your favorite team.
Absolutely. In addition to the ballpark, each team operates at least one store within their general vicinity that is open on non-game days, sometimes near the ballpark, sometimes located further away. As well, there are sports retailers that will sell merch of any team you like. My personal recommendation is the Selection chain. There's one in Osaka, but the store in Shinjuku tends to have the most NPB gear. If you look on their store blog around May 2019, you will see a photo of me smiling like a moron holding a bag of 10 NPB hats as I complete my collection.
Fantastic. So you already mentioned the high school baseball tournament. What time of year does that happen?
That takes place over 3 weeks in August.
In
When that
August.
happens, the Hanshin Tigers are either on the road or they do a timeshare with the Oryx Buffaloes at their ballpark, Kyocera Dome in Osaka.
Are there any other days or special games or holidays that would be a fun time at the ballpark if you thought maybe I should go to opening day, or maybe I want to go to the postseason, or maybe this Japanese holiday is a lot of fun out there?
They do tend to have some interesting options. Around the summer, like in July and August, most teams will bust out a special uniform they call their Natsu uniform, Natsu meaning summer. And some teams really can get carried away with it. I insist that the Tigers are a great baseball team, but terrible in Photoshop. There were a few years which were crimes against fashion that they had to wear out onto the field. If you're not able to be there for the summer high school baseball tournament, there is a spring one as well. It's less well known, but the competition is still just as strong. There's also collegiate baseball. The Tokyo Big Six League takes over Meiji Jingu Stadium from the Swallows, and the matches between those universities can get quite heated. Again, those predate the Pro League. In terms of like opening day versus postseason, I honestly find the atmosphere is fine just about any time you go. If you want a unique experience, though, go during interleague. Unlike in North America, where MLB will have interleague games scheduled throughout the year, otherwise they'd have an uneven schedule, the NPB sets it up so that every team plays each other only once, three games at home or on the road, and all within a set 3 week block in late May to early June. If you are a fan of the Chiba Marines, you may be waiting a while for the Yomiuri Giants to come to your neck of the woods. But if you do go to one of those games, you could see some fireworks. Those Central League teams don't normally have a designated hitter. Those Pacific League teams don't often have to have their pitchers bat. Unlike most pro leagues, the Central League still has the pitcher's bat. Japan loves its bunts. What can I say?
How about autographs? And do Japanese players sign autographs? Do Japanese fans want autographs? Is that similar?
The Japanese fans do seem to be a little bit more respectful of players' time. They will show up early enough to catch a glimpse of fans coming in. Some players will walk over and sign things. I've never been much of an autograph chaser, so admittedly, that's not something I prioritize.
Yeah. Is there anything aside from the language that foreign visitors might need to worry or be concerned about when they come over?
And the language is a pretty steep barrier. Thankfully, most of the terms at the ballpark are loan words. A strike is sutoraiku. A fly ball is a furai. Home run is home run, no matter how you say it. So, at least some of the baseball terminology will be easy to parse. The signage in public transit networks is multilingual, ditto for every single airport. And you can get by surprisingly well with Google Translate these days. A huge sea change from when I first went to Japan in 2013 and
Oh,
I
yeah.
typoed Canada on a form and gave it a letter that doesn't exist in Japanese. I've been able to have conversations just by using Google Translate's speech to text and text to speech function with servers who weren't comfortable speaking English. I think in terms of people in North America specifically, the things to watch for are no tipping in restaurants.
Good.
Make sure that you are giving the right level of respect, bow, say sumimasen, excuse me when you're bumping into folks. The jet lag is going to be the killer thing. Don't try to do anything the day you arrive in Japan. Just get to the hotel and recombobulate. For me, coming from Toronto, Canada, it's 13 hours direct. And at that point, AM is PM, and I'm walking off like a zombie. I pop a melatonin pill, and after 8 hours of snooze, I'm a human being again the following day.
Is there anything that foreign visitors and foreign baseball fans would be surprised to find at a Japanese baseball game?
Aside from the loudness of the fans out in the bleachers, which to me is the first thing that lets you know that you're not in a North American MLB game.
I know that the North American fans tend to look down on foreign leagues as quad A or triple A or things like that. I mean, you may have noticed this with the KBO. The quality of play has been improving, where the best, guys who can't hack it in the majors can't come over to Korea or Japan and put up video game numbers anymore. The number of times I've heard guys coming over and, oh, he'll rake in Japan and then flame out after a season or too many to count on both my hands and feet. So the ones who stick it out here will be the ones who learn how to adjust to the game. It's more contact driven, a lot more sacrifice bunts and sacrifice flies. Defense is a premium. And last year they had, I don't want to say the ball was deadened, but I can't not say that because the home run rates just fell through the floor. Some teams didn't even have a single player reach double digit dingers. So it is a little bit more on gap hits as opposed to three bloops and a blast in the majors. There's no three true outcomes surge. There's less analytics. There's less shifting. So if it, some people might call it a more pure game. I again point to the Central League and saying they're still bunting. They still have the pitcher's hit. I mean, when they hit a home run, it's hilarious, but it's a more vintage form, I think, in terms of the quality of play. And you're going to start to see more players try to do what Roki Sasaki is doing and head to the majors in the prime of their career before they become an international free agent in their 30s. NPB teams have 9 years of control of a player before he's an international free agent or they have to get posted.
Any idea how Japanese fans feel about their stars going to MLB? Is that considered a step up and they're happy to watch them from afar on TV, or is it like poaching some of the best players from the league?
Their position on it changed literally within the span of a season, because that was when Hideo Nomo used a contract loophole to exit Japan, and then he retired from Japan. He retired from Japanese baseball, and then he signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the Japanese fans were fuming. How dare he? He's not allowed to do that. Why would he turn his back on his team, on his society, until he starts racking up the strikeouts and racking up the wins and pitching a no-hitter? I think that was at Coors, right? And all then it's a point of pride. You just have to look at the reaction to the World Baseball Classic in Japan back in 2023. That was like winning Olympic gold in five different events over there.
That's
So
cool.
they use that as a point of pride that they are among the world's best at the game. I can't say the world's best anymore. They did drop the Premier 12 final to Chinese Taipei earlier this year.
Well, my final question for you, I ask all the ballparks and all the people I talk to. And actually, I'm curious to see if there's one answer that you come up with for Japanese baseball. If someone can only make one game, would you recommend a night game, matinee, or maybe even, like you said, a midweek game that might not be the most difficult to get a ticket for.
If you're only going to go to one game in Japan, it has to be Hanshin Tigers hosting the Yomiuri Giants at Hanshin Koshien Stadium on a Friday night because the place will be vibrating.
That's great. And Hanshin Tigers closest to
The
what city
Boston
for
Red
them?
Sox.
And what
They're
city
closest,
are they?
closest to Osaka,
Closest to Osaka.
but Osaka and Kyoto are only half an hour away by regular train. So if you set up as a home, one or the other as a home base, it's very easy to get to the Koshien Stadium and to take in a Tigers game. You can easily do that in half an hour max.
Fantastic. And I guess I will ask you one more question because you have a very interesting company that you're affiliated with. Why would you suggest that people come to Japan with Japan Ball instead of ride on their own?
To avoid the blunders that I made, for one, when I was planning my own trip, and second, because they have access to places I don't. They have the deep insight, and you're going with like-minded folks, so you have your own little tribe that you're traveling with. For example, you might be able to meet the first player ever to cross from Japan into MLB, Masanori Murakami, because he's friends with Shane Barclay, the owner and operator of Japan Ball, and you might be able to shoot the breeze with him, learn more about his journey. You might be able to get into places like the Japan Ball Hall of Fame with a private tour. You might be able to learn about Ichiro from his father, who runs a museum in Nagoya. There's opportunities with the group and with that cachet that you can't get on your own. They've been doing this for 25 years.
Cool.
They are the premier baseball travel agency in the world for international baseball. So if you don't feel up for doing it all on your own, hand the keys over and you'll have a fantastic time. The travel guide is meant to be sort of the middle ground between, I want to do this all on my own, machine translation be damned, and Shane, take the keys. This way you get the expertise of both Shane and myself with a lower initial cost outlay and the chance to still go off and throw in your own things. Like, for example, let's say you don't want to go watch the Swallows play the Dragons and sweep the basement. You want to go check out the Edo Tokyo Museum or go to Tokyo DisneySea or do any of the other innumerable things in the Tokyo area. That way you have the flexibility.
So, japanball.com for more information about the tours. Is that the same place to get your guide, or is there a better place to find your guide?
You can get both the ebook and audiobook narrated by me at japanball.com's shop, or you can wait until December 22nd when both those and a print book will be released on Amazon and Rakuten Kobo.
I'm probably going to go for the audiobook. I like the way you talk, Gabe. So this has been a great discussion with you. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to make sure that anyone who asks me about Japanese baseball knows about your book. Thank you so much again for joining us.
It's been my pleasure, Jacob. Thank you for extending the invite and having me.
Well, now it is time to talk about what else you can do in Japan when you're not seeing baseball games. Now, there's no way we're going to cover everything. Everyone has different interests, different tastes, and there is so much to do in Japan. When I came back from 2 weeks in Japan recently, the first thing I thought was, I can't wait to go back because there's so much more I want to see. But I will give you one recommendation in a couple of different cities that you can see a bunch of baseball games in so that you'll have at least one thing that I thought was really fun and really interesting to do. So, starting in Tokyo. In Tokyo, my favorite thing, I've been to Tokyo twice now, and both times my favorite thing was near Shinjuku Station. Near Shinjuku Station is a little alleyway that seems stuck in time. It's called Omoide Yokocho, and it's filled with little bars and little restaurants, a lot of yakitori restaurants. And that was so much fun to go in there, get some meat skewers and some beer, and just sit in these tiny little spaces. So really, it looks like an old-fashioned way of seeing Tokyo. So check out Omoide Yokocho. And I will put all of these in the show notes with links so that you can see them. Also, when I was in Tokyo, if you're either a Beatles fan or you're just a fan of surreal entertainment, I recommend going to the bar Abbey Road. Abbey Road had a Beatles cover band, a Japanese Beatles cover band, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. So those are a couple things in Tokyo. There's plenty more in Tokyo, but those are a couple things. By the way, if you want good cheap conveyor belt sushi in Japan, I recommend Sushiya. Sushiya is a very reliable Japanese chain. You know, not too fancy, but you get served by robots and conveyor belts, so it's great. All right. If you go down to the Osaka, Kyoto area to see some games, Kyoto is a fantastic place. You got to have Kyoto on your list of places to visit. It is filled with temples. You could walk around and spend days in Kyoto seeing all the temples and all of the shrines and the parks. It's really great. Now, my favorite temple, which is actually on the other side of Kyoto, on the western side of Kyoto, near the bamboo forest. This is my favorite temple. Let's see if I can pronounce it right. It is called the Otagi Nenbutsuji Temple. Otagi Nenbutsuji. And if you go to the show notes and you click on it, you'll see why. It is so cute, so creative, and by far my favorite temple that I went to. But there's other Nanzenji. Nanzenji was a great one. But, you know, I can only walk around and see temples so many times. I can only spend so much time doing that. So I need activities. And we had a great activity. We went to a tea farm outside of Kyoto. It was kind of a trek. We had to do 2 to 3 transfers on buses and trains, but it was not too difficult. And they had very easy directions on the website. But it's called the Kyoto Obubu Tea Farms. Obubu is Japanese for tea. Obubu. Kyoto Obubu Tea Farms. And they had a great presentation where they took us up to the tea fields. We saw the all the tea plants. Then we went down to the processing room and saw how they dry the tea and process the tea. And then we had a tea tasting. It was a lot of fun. So if you want to go to a tea tasting, the Kyoto Obubu Tea Farms are not too far from Kyoto while you're there. Now, I really wanted to go to a sumo tournament while I was in Japan. That had always been kind of a dream of mine. And I didn't know it was possible, but there happened to be a sumo tournament happening in Fukuoka while we were there. Now, there are many tournaments throughout the year and they rotate cities. Like there's one in Tokyo, but when we were there, it was in Fukuoka, which is not anywhere near Tokyo, but it gave us a good excuse to take the bullet train down there. It was about a 5 hour train ride and it was great. It was really fast, really fun, really comfortable. So we took the train down there. We had gone on the website that I'm going to share with you about getting sumo tickets, and we went to one day of the tournament. The tournament lasts a couple weeks. You can go to multiple days, but we went to one day, and it was a lot of fun. Probably the most fun we had on our trip. It was a really great experience. So I recommend that if you can do that, check out a sumo tournament. I did get to do one baseball-related activity. When we went to Japan, my good friend who lives in Yokohama, right by Tokyo, he wanted to take us up north to Sapporo. Sapporo or Hokkaido is the area. But he wanted to take us up there just because he loves that area. Good seafood, really beautiful. It snows in the winter. We were there in the fall, so great fall colors. But in the springtime and the summer, it is home to Escon Field, Hokkaido, which is home to the Nippon Ham Fighters. Sorry, the Nippon Ham Fighters. And it is the newest and coolest ballpark in all of Japan. Now, when we went up there, I don't know what the occasion was, why they were doing this, but they were having an open house of the ballpark where for free you could just go in and walk around and explore the whole ballpark. All of the restaurants were open, the gift shop was open, but there was no game and no ushers. And only just a handful of people walking around the stadium, but it was the coolest retractable roof stadium I've ever been to. It is much nicer than any retractable roof ballpark we have in the United States. Same designers. I'll bet it's an HOK inspired ballpark, but it is great. Like they mentioned in the interview, it can compete with any ballpark in the United States. Huge glass windows out in center field that let in a lot of natural light. I believe they have an onsen up in the outfield where you can have a spa while you watch the game. It was just really, really, really cool. So if you get to go there to Sapporo, that's where you're going to want to go to check out this ballpark. If you're a ballpark fan, then you've got to go up to Sapporo. Now, it might seem like it is a little far away, but it's not really. It's like just a couple hours by plane. So take another airplane up to Sapporo from Tokyo. And Sapporo was really great. Like I said, great seafood, great stadium. You can also, if you like ramen, up in Sapporo, you have to get a different kind of ramen. They have miso-based ramen. So, ramen like noodle soup, but they have miso-based ramen and they can put butter and corn in it. And that's really good. So, check that out. Anyway, those are my recommendations for going to Japan. We did a lot more stuff. There's a lot more for you to do. If you like Harry Potter, check out the Warner Brothers lot in Tokyo. That's brand new. Of course, if you like Nintendo, you can visit Universal Studios. There's Tokyo Disney. There's all kinds of stuff to do and see in Japan. So I hope you guys get your trip to Japan soon because it is a can't miss trip. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this episode and really the past two episodes dealing with our trip to Asia. We'll be back in the States next week, or will we? It all depends where my ballpark journey takes us. Until then, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, it all depends where our ballpark journey takes us. Is that what I said? I don't know what I said.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.